to get started on the interview, we'll start with your personal life. Isn't that fun? We won't ask you anything real personal.
Okay.
Okay, what I want to say is I know you are a fellow native Californian, and you were born in Pasadena, and I was born in Southern California, too. And I wanted to know, were you always raised in California, or did you guys move around to different states, or did you pretty much stay in California growing up?
Yes, I am a true California girl. My family still lives in the house that I was born and raised in Pasadena.
Wow.
Yeah. No moving from
me. Yeah, well, that's great. So you, I know you have siblings, but for our listeners around the world, can you tell us how many siblings you have, and are you the oldest, the youngest, the middle child?
I am the only girl and the oldest. I have two younger brothers, Brandon and Craig, and I'm basically like their second mom in a sense. I'm like more protective of them than a sister should be.
Oh. Well, that's good. So did you have a nickname as a kid or one you may have now that people called you all through your childhood and into adulthood that you can share or you want to share?
Can I tell you that there are several names that I've been called, mainly because I used to dress up and do different characters, and I don't know why my mom decided to – she called me Tootsie Roll or Toots or –
Tootsie Roll.
I got called Tata Chip because I love potato chips.
Oh, me too.
I got called Shaquita Aguita Black. That's when I was doing my little hood ghetto girl character.
Now, what's the backstory on that? Why did they call you that? What's the backstory?
Well, there were like three characters that I would do. I would do Whitley from A Different World, and then I would do like this Poochie Mama that I made up from watching all the Friday movies, and that's how Shaquita Aguita Black came up. Wait, girl, let me tell you something. The other day, I had went to the store, and what I had seen in the store window, I didn't see when I went in the store, okay? I'm going to be like, okay, Shaquita Aguita Black.
Wow. Well,
yeah.
I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to go in a different direction, though, with my first question. Can you tell us what is the one accomplishment that you're most proud of and why?
I am most proud of the sense that I've gained. Because, you know, when you start young in the business, you really don't understand the responsibility that you have. You're kind of just doing what you love to do, and you're having fun, and sometimes you're a little reckless because it's all new and you're young. But the most thing that I'm proud of is the sense that I have now in my life to be humble and to always remember to give back because someone always gave to me. So I'm most proud of that accomplishment in my life.
That's excellent. So what inspires you? Is there something that truly inspires you?
My grandmother. My grandmother has one of the biggest hearts that you'll ever meet on a person. She is a foster parent. She has 8 children of her own.
Wow.
She almost died having her last baby, and she loves children. So after she gave birth to her last baby, which was my mother, she went on to start keeping foster kids, and she's raised over 100 children since I've been alive, and maybe even before. But she's very giving. People love her. And this woman is one of the strongest women I've ever met. So she's very inspirational to me.
That's a wonderful accomplishment. 100 children that might have been out on the streets, in gangs, in trouble, without parents, nobody to depend on, and she took the time. And having 8 children, or 7, would you say 8? So there's a lot of grandchildren and great-grandchildren, too, plus all these other children. You have to feed and clothe them and take care of them and mentor. That's a very good accomplishment.
Yeah.
To get back to where you were doing your nicknames, did people, because when I first heard your name, I always pronounced it Tamala. And for a long time on our show, and I'd get it, and I'm Pamela, but I go by Pam, so I'd do Tamala, Pamela, Pamela, Tamala. But I hear people all the time call you Tamala. So did they call you Tams, Tammy?
Yes, they
you
do.
Know? Yeah.
Oh, hot tamale when they
hot
just don't. feel like I tried to say your name right. Tamale, that's what I'm going to call you.
Perfect.
Well, you know, with Esposito being the Latin lover and the hot tamale, you two can mix up some salsa. No, okay.
All right. Spicy salsa.
That's some spicy salsa going there. Do you have a favorite quote that you made up yourself or somebody that you really admire that you always quote them or, you know, that you can share with all of us out there?
My grandmother
quote.
On the way out, like whenever somebody was leaving the house and she was just trying to be funny, she would always say, "Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. Have a nice evening."
Aw. Perfect. Oh, that's cute. Now, when did the acting bug bite you, and how supportive was your family, including your grandma and your siblings and your aunts and uncles and everybody, and the family, how supportive were they when they found out that that acting was your passion?
Well, I always knew I wanted to be an entertainer from birth. You know, like, you could not say anything in front of me when I was a kid because I would act it out and repeat it exactly the way that you said it. So I used to tell on everybody without knowing that's what I was doing. But I tried getting into, you know, playing the cello and the violin. I tried different outlets, and these are things that my parents had to pay for. And then when I didn't want to do it anymore, they're like, "Oh, God, you're going to have to stick with this one, sweetheart. I mean, you can't keep changing." I'm like, "I don't want to play the cello. I don't want to play the violin." But then once I got introduced to acting, because I went to a fundamental school, and that was like 6th through 12th grade. So Lark Voorhees from Saved by the Bell was in one of my classes at one point, and I remember watching her Saturday morning. I'm like, "I go to school with that girl. I can do what she does." So she, along with Jaleel White, who also attended my school, inspired me to go ahead and try to do something. So my parents finally broke down and got me into acting workshops on the weekend, mainly to get me out of the house, too. But that's where it all kind of began, because one day I was at the acting workshop, and a talent scout was in there looking for some fresh, new, young faces, and watched the whole class and came up to me and my mom afterwards and said, "I want you to take some headshots and bring them back to me, and I want to send you out. Let's do a trial thing." And the first thing they sent me out was on an IBM commercial, and I booked it.
And how old were you?
I was 14.
So 14 years old. So how did your brothers take this, you getting a little bit more attention in the family with getting some bookings and stuff? Were they real supportive, or did they tease you a lot or push you around? Or?
My brothers are some little snots, okay? They tease me about everything, even today. They still tease me. But whatever they can find that they know will make me say, "You guys, they'll do it." My brother, my middle brother, Craig, he started out doing acting, and he just didn't like it. He tried a few things. He booked a few things. And, you know, hearing no all the time, and he was very young. He was younger than me. I think he was like 6 or 7. He just didn't like it, so he quit. I try to bring him back in on things that I worked on, have him do some background work. It's just not him. And Brandon, he's the baby. He is just like, "I don't care what you're doing. Can I please have the new pair of Jordans? And me and my girlfriend want to go to the movies. Can we have some movie money?" Like, Brandon, he's just a baby, you know. Even now, he's older, but we still look at him as a baby. So
the
they
baby
just,
of the family.
They're very supportive, very loving, but they're like little brothers, little bratty brothers.
Little bratty brothers. Well, that's good. Everybody's got to have some little bratty brothers or little bratty, you know, sisters and stuff to keep you grounded when you become an actor, because you get a lot of rejection, don't you, for acting and stuff. So if you don't have a family that's really can joke with you and support you and keep you kind of grounded, it keep you having a good sense of humor. Now, when you were 23, you had a brain aneurysm. And can you share with us how this has changed your life, or has it changed your life in any way? I know they just did an article on you that we passed around on Twitter and Facebook about you doing an interview about your aneurysm. But can you tell our listeners, how did this affect your life? Because we know the story of how you went to work and you weren't feeling good and you still went to a full day's work. After this all happened and you got out of the hospital, after you stayed with your grandma, what changed?
I became a little reckless because I felt like I'm somebody who was supposed to be dead according to the doctors, and I'm still alive. So I had so many different emotions built up where I'm free, I'm alive, I'm still young, I'm kicking, kind of a danger thing. At the same time, it was, I don't want to appear weak to anyone. You know, people look at, especially, you know, when you're young, young people can be very critical in how they critique you in your life, and you just don't want to appear to be the sick one. Even though I think the friends that I had around that time would have been very supportive of me and trying to make sure that I was healthy, I chose not to tell them. Mm-hmm. And I began having this very bad attitude. And one of my friends at the time sat me down and was like, Tamala, you don't have to act like that. Like, you are, like, completely different, and it's not cool. Like, I want to call you the B word, but I love you. You're not quite there yet, but you're getting there. You're becoming a serious biatch. And I cried because I don't want to be that way. You know what I mean? And for someone to call me out on that, I didn't see it. I knew I was acting up, but I didn't see how it was affecting everyone. So with her telling me that, it just made me kind of like go inside myself and then try to become a little bit more spiritual and grateful that I am alive. And it took a long time, and I still never wanted to talk about it, but I've gotten to the point now, I'm 37 years old, and it is my responsibility to share my experiences, whether they be bad or good or something I do or do not agree with. If it's going to help someone, then it is my responsibility to share them, because, you know, young people die every day of things that we only think old people have.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's not true. You know, we have to be aware of these things. And so I definitely want to continue to talk about my experience and any other experiences that I think could help anyone.
Well, you know, it's very common now. It used to be you didn't hear so much about, you heard about brain aneurysms, but now there's stomach aneurysms. There's all kinds of aneurysms that people don't even realize they're walking around with, and they just, you know, die. You even went to work. Your arm was numb. You went all day. They were putting costumes over you. You had terrible headaches, and you still didn't go in. And so what did you do? Just work the end of that day shift and then just decide, I'm going to the hospital. It's like, this is really bad.
Yeah. I mean, I kept trying to tell my boss, but she thought, you know, and rightfully so, I was only 23 years old. She probably thought I was just trying to get out of work because
yeah.
I was still a kid. But she saw, and she was like, okay, we're going to have somebody drive you to the hospital. And someone did. And when I went into the doctor's office and I told him everything, and he was like, well, you had an aneurysm, and you're alive? He's like, sweetheart, you're not. This is a rare thing. So then he began to do all these tests, the CAT scan. He couldn't really get a good view, so he did an MRI, and he saw it. He saw it was the size of a 50-cent piece. It had already burst, but the side of my brain it was on, it wasn't going to be permanent. It was, as soon as that blood dried up, I would get the feeling back, and that's what happened.
You were very lucky because you could have brain damage and strokes and all sorts of stuff. And the other thing is it would have took you triple the time if it would have been on the other side, or you'd have been dead already. You wouldn't be here. But God gave you some more time. He gave you a little bit longer, you know, hopefully a long, long life. But, you know, because really you were walking around like a ticking time bomb. I mean, most people get that and boom, they hit the floor and that's just it. That's it.
Yeah.
Boom. I knew a guy who was chewing gum. He was 35, and he came home from work. He walked in the house, said hello to his wife, said, I don't feel good, and boom, hit the floor while he's still chewing his gum.
Oh, my
Died
God.
Died instantly in front of his kids and everything. It's very, you were so lucky. But to move on to some happier things in life, what do you do in your spare time when you're away from Castle? I know you do studio recording, you do a lot of stuff, but what do you do when you're away from Castle and you just want to wind down and put your feet up? What do you like to do?
I'm really a homebody. If I'm not in my house, I'm at one of my girlfriend's homes, and we're either cooking and catching up on the latest gossip or talking about where we want to go for a trip, because, you know, I try to go somewhere on the hiatus at some point, either that or Christmas, New Year's, depending on what time I have to be back in January to work. So, you know, I like to travel. Other than that, it's charities, it's doing interviews, it's hanging out with family and friends. I'm very simple when it comes to just relaxing.
Well, in a recent interview, you said you consider yourself a leader instead of a follower. What do you feel are your best qualities as a leader in your charity work and so forth?
One of my best qualities that I have now is how to tell people how exactly like it is without offending them. I always say, you're not going to like, maybe you won't like what I have to say, but it's the truth, you know, and it, you can accept it how you want or maybe not, but here's what I think. And you can tell me how you feel about what I said, but I just need to get it out, you know, and that seems to work for me now versus trying to sugarcoat it and like, no, well, maybe it's not that, maybe it's this. I don't do that anymore. I can't. I have to be very real about it. Even with some of the charities I've done, some of the young girls I've spoken to, I've listened to their stories. They're mainly centered around young boys. And, I'm telling them, you are so young, and you're going to do what you want to do anyway. We already know that. But just think about this. Think about you being a young mom and your parents not being there to help you. Think about the diseases that you guys have now that we didn't have when I was growing up, but you guys have things. You know, like I just give it to them straight and I let them go from there. I'm like, your friends don't know any more than you do. They don't have all the answers. So if you need a mentor, you can call me or you can find someone older who has the experience, who can talk to you that you trust. I just feel like living in truth is so much easier than having to lie about anything.
Yeah, or waste time. You know, people, it's a different world than when I was growing up in the 60s and 70s. I'm a little bit older than you. I'm 50. And we had it wasn't as simple, but it seemed to be less pressure in school and what you wore and the things you have. And everything now is about status. And we had more of, you wanted to get the best schooling and all that, and we had the hippie era and the whole taboo. But now it's all about what you wear, what you look like, how skinny you are, all that kind of labeling. Don't look old, don't get old. So it's great that you can mentor these young girls and boys with what's going on in today, because they have a lot of pressure. I mean, we didn't have guns at school and all this. The biggest thing was who was wearing makeup, who was smoking cigarettes, who had nylons. You know, that was what we were, who pushed each other around on the school grounds and said names and ran home. Now you shoot each other. I mean, it's different. But
yeah.
I read an interview, because we always research our guests, and I read an interview on you that you are a fan, or were a fan of, and still are, of Tammy Terrell, the famous Motown singer who used to sing duets with Marvin Gaye.
Yes.
And you said you would like to portray her one day because you have similarities in common. And you were even named after the record label Tamela Records. Can you share with us the things you have in common or did have in common with Tammy Terrell?
Well, one of the things, neither one of our fathers were around.
Okay.
And, having your mom being single and raising you, and I'm not really sure if she had any siblings, but having that and then also being the oldest or the only girl and having to basically grow up so much faster and think of ways that you can help your family, that's one. Two, we both had problems with the brain. She had headaches as a very young girl and never had anything, no doctor visits to help detect what's going on, and she had brain tumors. Mm. And about the time that she decided she wanted to deal with them, it was so far into it, when she had them removed, they would grow right back.
Ooh. So they were very advanced, and they just get bigger and bigger?
Bigger and bigger. And she had run-ins with not-so-good men, and I've had my share of run-ins with not-so-good men, and I think it has a lot to do with not having your father around. She didn't get to change and live longer to be able to make that work for her like I have. She died when she was 24 years old.
Kind of like Jean Harlow.
Yeah.
Very young.
Yes. But she was beautiful, and she had a voice like no other. And we hear her music in commercials all the time or in different movies, or someone has a show that they're using her song with Marvin Gaye. All of her songs are, like, huge. Diana Ross went on to redo some of them with Marvin Gaye as well. And I just think that her being young and beautiful and talented, she didn't get to do it, but I need to do it. And I want to do the story, and I want to give half of the proceeds, if not all, however they want to do it, to the study of the brain, the nervous system, and diseases that attack it, from brain tumors to brain aneurysms to Parkinson's, anything that you could do to early detect it. I want to start funding that,
right?
Because it's not just with old people. So I think that even in the medical books, that they tend to lean more to the elderly when they're looking for those problems. And you've got to change it. You've got to change it.
Right, I understand that. It's something you really need to pursue, and I hope you do, and I hope you get back with us in 2 to 5 years and say what you're doing to go forward with her story. I used to listen to her music, and I didn't realize when I was growing up, actually, I remember Marvin Gaye, but I don't remember her as well as I do him. So, but, you know, I loved, you know, Ain't No Mountain Higher, and used to dance to it and stuff. So I would love to see you pursue that, and I hope you do. And we're talking about musicals and musical theater and songs. So have you did any musical theater? Because I'm not aware of what you've accomplished.
No, I have not.
Okay.
But music is, that was my first love. As you can see, I tried the violin and the cello. That just wasn't enough, and that's all that my school had to offer me at the time.
Cello and violin in Pasadena. I mean, come on. Where's the drums and the guitar and the piano and the, you know, keyboards? And that's one of the questions I was going to ask you. What other instruments do you play, or do you play any instruments, and do you write your own music?
No, I don't do any of that. I want to learn how to play the electric guitar. Like, I really would love to learn how to just rock out, because I love classic rock. The Doors, Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, Led Zeppelin, T-Rex. I mean, I could go on. I am a huge fan of the classic rock, and, you know, just to be able to come up with something on my own. I'm a play-by-ear writer. I don't know how to follow the notes, but I could tell you what I want to do, and that writer can compose it with me. I mean, that's where I'm at with it. I love to sing. I love to dance. I would love to do that. And, you know, in fact, on Castle, you're going to be able to see a little singing from me.
I heard that you guys are going to do some stuff coming up, and we'll ask you that in the Castle section. I was going to ask you, you know, my next question was, what types of songs do you like to sing? What groups or singers influence you the most growing up, and which ones influence you now? And you've told me a little bit about that, but who do you like now that you listen to, like on your iPod or your iPad or whatever, you know, in your stereo car or whatever, that you really listen to and go back to all the time as feel-good music, lift-me-up stuff?
Well, as far as female singers, I love Adele. I think she's freaking amazing. Her voice is so beautiful, and she's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
I love Minnie Riperton. Of course, I love Tammy Terrell. Joni Mitchell. I love Mary J. Blige, Aretha Franklin. I just love music. Like, there's nothing that you can put on the radio that I won't move my head and my body to, because I just love music, from salsa to classic rock. I mean, I am the music queen. I can, like, riddle off some things that I shouldn't know about because they were made way before I was born. But I just love
me
music.
Too. Yeah. Well, what about you making a CD, a music CD, with just you and John ought to get together, and he's in studio, and you guys make it for the fans and sell it to the fans on the website for charity or something. Him for Puppies Behind Bars, and you for your charity, and offer like 10 songs, and you do a song, and he does a song, or you do your own. That'd be great to do, with, you know, to get the music out there sometime. be a lot of fun.
Well, I think I'm going to have to prove myself to John. I mean, we kind of like joke around on set and sing to each other, but I'm not really singing when I do that.
Yeah.
But if he hears that I can sing, he'll want to do something, I'm sure.
You got to show him who rules, Tamala. The women rule, and as your character of Lainey, she's got to push Esposito around a little bit there, and so as Tamala the person, you got to show John that hey, you've got it. I'm just kidding.
Gotta let him know.